Now, as a special bonus for KBOO online listeners, our in-studio guests Dan DeWeese, Karen Monroe, and Susie Vitello have graciously consented to read excerpts from their stories, all included in City of the Weird. Dan will be reading from his story, Transformation, then Karen from her story, The Color Off the Shelf, and then Susie reading from her story, The Deflowering. This is Dan DeWeese reading an excerpt from his story in City of Weird. This one's called The Transformation.
Pod floated down through the atmosphere and came to rest with a soft roll on the planet's surface. She raised three pale veined petals, carefully appraising the environment. Vibrant plant life, plenty of water, some of it vapor, but much of it in the form of two large rivers, whose roiling intersection she sensed not far from here. The only native molds she detected were weak, almost insensate. They did not respond to Pod's attempts to communicate. "This will take work," she told the innumerable slime molds inhabiting her innumerable chambers. "But that is in many ways what we want, isn't it? With great adversity comes great accomplishment." She sensed the mold's vibrations of agreement and eagerness. From one of her chambers, though, she felt nothing. Red, a slime mold who had been among the first to enter her back on their home planet, stayed silent. Exquisitely sensitive to conditions in each of her innumerable chambers, Pod could tell Red was alive. He'd lined the entirety of his chamber just as the other slime molds had. His communicative vibrations during the drift had been strong and clear. He seemed healthy. Maybe he was just nervous, Pod decided. The opening of Pod's inner petals was an act so momentous as to be almost sacred. How long had she floated through interstellar space, tightly folded? How long had she incubated her molds against the void? Time had become meaningless. It had been an eternity and also an instant. Finally, she had drifted into a medium-sized system. The outer planets were frozen. She drifted past. Next, she found gas giants. Extending two of her petals like sails, Pod was propelled further on the breeze of subatomic particles radiating from the giants. And then there it was, a rocky planet covered in water, shrouded in vapor. Perfect. And now here they were, ready to embark upon the project that was the purpose of their lives, the transformation.
Now we have Karen Monroe reading her story from City of Weird. This one's called The Color Off the Shelf. And actually, it's an excerpt.
The shelves went up forever, through the subterranean ceilings of the basement room, through floor after floor of paper tonnage, through the pigeon-craft and cobwebbed rafters, and through the cold night sky and into the inky darkness of outer space. Every shelf packed with books, every book stuffed with words, every word stamped in a heavy, irrepressible color that was like nothing he'd ever seen. A color that was sour and dry, that knuckled down on itself, line after line, the same words writing themselves over and over until they came to the end of the page and began to leak off, curling onto the floor, reaching for his feet. Thick-tongued, dry-mouthed, Malcolm blinked at his bedroom ceiling. It was nearly dark. There was a weight on his chest, the book. He picked it up. The cover was clammy and cool in his hand. It was bound in human skin, he thought. Of course it was. But what color? After fumbling on the bedside light and drinking a glass of water and pacing in front of the picture window under the low evening sky, he checked the time. 8 o'clock. He was wired. He cracked his knuckles, airboxed a little in front of the mirror, spat in the kitchen sink, then ran a blast of water down it, disgusted at himself. "Go for a walk," his mother would tell him. He slung on a jacket and went.
This is Susie Vitello with kind of a bonus reading for KBOO listeners. Her story's called The Deflowering.
Ever since my friends turned 16, they were scooped-up zombies. Neither Fuchsia nor Wispy returned any of my messages. Plus, their social media accounts were gone. Gone! I had envisioned us choreographing dozens of selfies this week. Hashtag trips all over the landscape. Hashtag 16. Hashtag sweet 16. Hashtag Gemini triplets. And so many hashtag and hashtag acronyms yet to be invented. Where was the life we'd envisioned? Nowhere. That's where. I sat on my bed, twirling the dead flower I'd found in the gutter the week before. It was my birthday eve. The threat of crying kept cropping up inside my nose the way disappointment does. Abject disappointment, if you want to get all SAT prep about it. There was a knock on my bedroom door, then it opened, and in walked Dad and his current wife, Celeste, who Wispy and Fuchsia called Celestial Seasonings because you never saw her without a mug of tea. Tonight, Celeste didn't have tea, but she did have a hashtag TBT picture in her hands. "I thought you might be interested in what I looked like at 16," she said, handing me a Sierra-filtered photograph. In the photo, Celeste was a mess, a grimy, Grateful Dead chick mess. I glanced up at her present-era anticipating face. "Yuck," I said, handing back her pick along with the dead flower, and immediately felt the swell of sorrow again in my nose. Besides losing our virginities, the hashtag trips had also vowed to be less snarky once we turned 16. But I still had an hour or so to work on that. "Yuck," said Celeste. Dad said, "We've planned a surprise for you, Emmy." I said, "Does it involve turning Wispy and Fuchsia back to their regular selves?" Celeste said, "What do you mean, yuck, you little brat?" And stormed out of the room, dropping the Rose Festival float flower on my rug, making sure she squished it into the carpet with her bare heel.